Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. First on the docket, why is the DNA in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters not been tested yet? Justice for Jose Alba. Third, this guy did everything correctly, and he's lucky he didn't get hurt. Denver police don't have an Uvalde Police Department problem. This is why you don't date crazy. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, aficionados. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hit that like button. Hit that bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or when we put up new content. Remember, tonight is our Tuesday night live show called After Dark. Please join us. We will be discussing the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters. Join us at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And following the live, we will have our Patreon show immediately following for all our Patreon members. And yes, you get the added feature of actually being able to call in and discuss anything you would like with me on the show. So please join us. All right, first on the docket, why is the items in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter not been tested yet for DNA? Well, there's a little thing called consumptive testing. And the prosecution is filing a motion basically saying that they are going to do consumptive testing on several items. What are those items? First, hair on the duct tape inside a body bag reported by the Rexburg Police Department to have been used to transport the remains of J.J. Vallow. And they say that where this is identified in the reports. Ridge detail on the adhesive side of the tape reported by the Rexburg Police Department to be associated with J.J. Vallow's body as described above for trace slash touch DNA. Third, a small dark spot on the handles of a shovel and pickaxe reported by the Rexburg Police Department to have been recovered from the garage barn. The state does not intend to consume each of these spots, but to consume a sufficient amount to determine if they contain human DNA and or profile. This evidence is identified in the report and the swabs reported by the police department to be from Joshua J. Vallow's right hand fingernails and reported been obtained during the autopsy. Now, those are the items that want to be tested. And your first thought is, hey, we have a January trial date, January of 2023 trial date coming up. This case has been going on now for 3 years. Why has it not been tested? Well, if the DNA is going to be consumed in the testing, the prosecution needs to give notice, and most DAs like to get an order from the court saying we're going to do this testing and it's all going to go away. Of course, the defense objects, and the defense says, hey, you're going to destroy all that. We will not be able to have any for testing, and it could be exculpatory, et cetera, et cetera. Now, how is this problem solved? Well, it's solved rather simply. You go to the court, as the prosecution has done, and the court says, listen, defense, I'm going to order consumptive testing. You can have your expert available at the testing to observe the testing. And if you think there's any errors or flaws, then you can certainly bring that up at trial. But they can be there to observe the cutting, the testing, as well as the analysis. Bottom line, problem solved. The question is, why has it taken this long to get this far in the process? We had the charges filed with the tampering of evidence. Those charges were filed years ago. They could have actually done the testing then. Go forth and do the consumptive testing then, but they waited. So this is an example, ladies and gentlemen, of why, in my humble opinion, if the defense usually has any shot at a win at a trial in a case like this is, you don't delay. You go to trial immediately. If Lori Vallow or Chad DeBell had said, you know what, let's go to trial on that witness tampering case a year ago, there probably wouldn't be sufficient DNA evidence there to do it. Now, would they win? I don't know. It just goes to show you that when the government charges their case, they're telling everybody they're ready to go to trial within the speedy trial limits of that case. And most of the time, they're not. Just something to think about. Let me know. Do you think the prosecution is a little behind the old power curve here? I'm thinking they are. Anyway, we'll talk about it tonight more on our live show. Please join us at 6 p.m. Mountain Time tonight, and we'll talk about this case and much more. Next on the docket, justice for Jose Alba. Prosecutors are seeking to drop murder charges against the bodega worker for fatally stabbing a man who physically attacked him over a bag of chips. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office, that of Alvin Bragg, asked the judge to drop the charges against 61-year-old Jose Alba, who said he was acting in self-defense in the stabbing. Now, Bragg had faced intense backlash after charging Alba, including criticism from the city's mayor, who said the bodega worker was clearly justified in defending himself. Now, during the altercation, Alba was stabbed by Austin Simon's girlfriend, who instigated the argument when her benefits card, her EBT benefits card, was declined. The girlfriend has never been charged for stabbing Mr. Alba. The motion filed by the district attorney's office to dismiss stated that they determined that they cannot prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt and that the defendant was more than likely justified in his use of deadly force. Now, needless to say, dead guy's family, not happy. And they stated they just don't see how an unarmed man can be killed and it be okay. Well, let me explain why. So Mr. Simon, who was on parole for attacking a police officer when he died, marching behind the bodega counter to confront Mr. Alba, and Mr. Alba said, "Hey, I don't want any problems." Simon charged into that convenience store minutes after his girlfriend tried to buy the bag of chips, but her, like I said, her EBT card was declined, and the woman claimed that Alba snatched the bag of chips from the child. You can actually hear it on the video. Alba states that he'll try another card, and he says, you know, I'll give it one more shot, and she insists there's money on that EBT card, but it is refused, and he swipes the card multiple times and hands it back to her saying it's not working. You can see in the footage here, ladies and gentlemen, it shows other customers in the bodega as the woman is heard yelling out of view of the camera, "You can't touch my daughter. Don't snatch that out of my daughter, you effing piece of blank." The woman had reported that Alba snatched the bag of chips from her daughter's hand when they couldn't pay for the items. She continued, "I'm going to bring my N down here and he's going to F you up. My N is going to come down here right now and F you up." Alba tells her it's not his fault that the card isn't working. Another woman asked, "Did they take something from you?" Alba replied, "No, I took it back." Simon can be seen on this video storming into the store and walking behind the counter where he confronts Alba. "What's up with you, N? What is wrong with you?" he yells at him. It is then that Simon pushes Alba into the shelf, and according to court filings, Alba responds by stabbing Simon in the heart, lung, and jugular veins. Now, Alba's fellow bodega worker said they will not let him return to work because they fear the victim's friends will come and harm him. Now, bottom line is, family of Mr. Austin Simon, man who's on parole, come in to rough up Mr. Alba because the EBT card doesn't work. When you go in there and you do that, and you put somebody in fear of death or serious bodily harm, guess what? You have a right to defend yourself, okay? It's that simple. Now, sometimes it's a question of fact for a jury to decide if whether that defense was reasonable or not. But in this particular case, when you pin somebody into a small, close proximity and you basically threaten them to harm them, you have a right to defend yourself with reasonable force that you deem is necessary. Bottom line is, Mr. Simon was wrong in this particular case. I don't think Mr. Alba is gonna run around saying, "Oh, I am a great guy." He has to live with the reality that he actually killed a man, whether it was in self-defense or not. He's justified under the law, but he'll have to carry that with him forever. So, bottom line is, justice was done here in this particular case. Let's go to the next story. This guy did it the correct way, but he's also lucky he didn't get hurt. A Georgia man says he wanted to make sure his wife was protected after video surveillance caught several suspects attempting to break into his vehicle in the driveway. Now, the surveillance video captured the homeowner run out in his home in his flip-flop and pajama shorts, no shirt, and a rifle to get the armed suspects away. The suspects shoot back, and guess what? They fired 24 bullets at him. This guy, a veteran of two wars, thinking he's going to die in his own front yard protecting his car. Now, these punks, one of them comes up to his yard, meets two other people. He goes out to tell them to basically get the heck out of here. They start firing back at him. They ultimately got away with a firearm that was in the car, and they also entered several other homes in the neighborhood trying to get away. Just punks. This guy did it the right way. He's lucky he didn't get killed. Looks like the bullet holes in the car are what saved him. So, but it just shows you, you cannot rely upon the police. I know some people say he should have called the police, and what's going to happen by the time they get there? They've broken in the car, stolen the car, etc. Maybe those kids will think twice next time they go and rob somebody. They're thinking, oh my goodness, someone's going to fire back at them. All right, remember, you can listen to any of our Crime Talk episodes by downloading Crime Talk on your favorite podcasting app. And that includes all the big apps, Apple, Spotify, and Audible. And I'm just saying, we are near 1 million downloads, which is kind of a big deal. I know there's some people that get like 20 million per download, like the Joe Rogans of the world. But, you know, not everybody can have those types of numbers. And most podcasts usually get about 7 downloads, where it's the person doing it and their immediate family. So the fact that we're at 1 million makes it at least look like we have more than just my family downloading these. So go check it out. Take a look. We would appreciate it. All right. The Denver Police Department, they do not have an Uvalde Police Department problem. No. Well, police here in Denver shot 5 bystanders when they opened fire into a crowd of people after a suspect pulled out a gun and then allegedly aimed it at authorities. Now, the incident unfolded early Sunday morning, just as the bars in the bustling Lodo district were about to be shut down. Now, this is about a block away from Coors Field and Union Station, and like I said, they were getting ready for their last call. Well, Denver officers were already in the area patrolling at the time when they spotted an armed man with a firearm who appeared to be creating a disturbance. Imagine that. As authorities moved in, the suspect allegedly aimed his gun at the police officers, prompting at least 3 officers to fire. Well, the armed man, identified as 21-year-old Jordan Waddy, apparently he's lucky that he's still around. He was, in fact, struck in the gunfire and transported to the hospital with what appeared to be non-life-threatening injuries. He's facing charges including felony menacing and possession of a weapon by a previous offender. That means he's a felon and shouldn't possess a firearm. Now, according to probable cause statements, authorities spotted Mr. Waddy lifting up his hoodie as though he was armed with a handgun, though it does not appear he fired the weapon. A 10mm handgun was ultimately recovered at the scene. And like I said, 5 other people, 2 men and 3 women, were also struck in the chaos, and they were subsequently hospitalized. They are all expected to survive their injuries. And the police issued a statement saying investigators are working to determine whether their injuries were a direct or indirect result of the officers involved shooting. Indirect could be from a ricochet or shrapnel. As of Sunday night, all but 1 of the bystanders and Mr. Waddy had been released from jail. Okay. Like I said, the disturbing part about this is that 3 officers fired rounds at Mr. Waddy, apparently striking him, but not killing him, but striking innocent bystanders. So it's completely opposite of Uvalde, who apparently is afraid to shoot. The Denver police officers ready to shoot. They just could not hit the broadside of a barn, apparently. So maybe these officers need to go hit the range a little bit to see what they can do. Okay, the next story is an example of why you get an attorney when you go to court. And second, why you don't date crazy. Okay, so Quintante, common spelling, Ms. Short, Quintante Short, is suing Richard Jordan in Flint, Michigan for intentional infliction of emotional distress. And the judge that had to hear this case is a case by a judge by the name of Herman Marble Jr. The lawsuit was filed back in 2020, and Ms. Short claims Mr. Jordan did not show and left her and her mother's birthday and her mom's had just passed away, claiming he had intentionally and deliberately hurt her by doing so. Well, Ms. Short and Judge Marble fiercely argue over whether or not standing someone up for a date is a criminal offense, with the judge ripping off his face shield at one point due to his frustration when speaking with Ms. Short. Now, Ms. Short claims that Jordan perjured himself based upon her claim that he lied about going on the date with her, and Judge Maribel angrily declared that Short cannot determine that. Unsatisfied, Short asks about transferring the case to circuit court and repeatedly asks, "Are we done here? Are we done here?" Now, normally we don't play videos in their entirety. This video is about 2.5 minutes long. It's worth watching, okay? You don't date crazy. And I think that the defendant in this particular case, he realized crazy, and that's why he did not go back, okay? And it didn't take long for the judge to figure out he was dealing with crazy as well. Now, Ms. Short has a history of filing frivolous lawsuits, including several in 2020 against the Flint Police Department for $300 million and AT&T, and all have been dismissed. It's worth watching.
You know, what is it? Intentional infliction of emotional distress?
Yes.
Is that the claim?
Yes, okay. It is.
That's not something that's really justiciable in district court.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said that's not something that's justiciable in district court. That has to be brought in circuit court.
To be honest with you, sir, I thought this was just going to be thrown out. We had a date, one date, and nothing else after that. And now I'm being sued for $10,000. I don't see how this is going to go any further. I think it's a waste of your time.
In that letter, he lied. And then that's what brought forth the perjury. It was never perjury in the beginning. It was perjury after his response.
Well, you can't say, listen, he has the right to put whatever is in the answer.
I'm not saying he can't, but
you can't add another count because you don't like or you disagree with what is in his answer.
If he responds and his response is a lie, it's perjury, then my documents will prove that he lied in his response.
No. It's his version. First of all, do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, I understand that perjury is a lie. I know what perjury means.
Perjury is a statement, a false statement made under oath.
So exactly, and I got documents that prove he was lying.
It's a false statement made under oath. When did he testify to something that he lied about? False statement made under oath.
Bottom line is, you said it's a criminal offense, so I will send it to circuit court. Are we done here?
No, you don't understand, ma'am. You don't understand.
Are we done here?
Perjury is a false statement made under oath. I know exactly what perjury means.
Are we done here?
No, you don't.
Is it a criminal offense or not?
What statement? I don't see anything in the complaint that says he made some false statement under oath.
Because you don't know what happened. You're on the outside looking in. You don't know anything.
But you're the plaintiff. You are the plaintiff.
Are we done here?
You have to lay out your allegations properly.
Are we done here?
No, we're not.
Exactly what perjury means.
No, we're not.
Do not insult my intelligence.
You have to
do not insult my intelligence.
You have to lay your complaint out. You have to allege this in the complaint.
Do not insult my intelligence.
And finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. Please meet Joshua Larson. Well, Mr. Larson was allegedly heavily intoxicated, and then he phoned the police emergency number at about 11:45 p.m., and he was arrested that night for calling to report that his girlfriend wished to eat his Sour Patch Kids. When asked about why he called the sheriffs, Mr. Larson smiled and walked away from the police outside his residence. Mr. Larson allegedly then engaged in a struggle with deputies as they sought to place him in handcuffs. A taser was used to take him into custody. He was charged with misuse of the 911 system and obstruction. And Mr. Larson was booked into the county jail where he was released on his own recognizance. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Using the 911 system to say that your girlfriend is going to eat your Sour Patch Kids. All right, before we close out the docket, check out this new merchandise for Crime Talk. That's right, this is going to be a top seller. Get yours today while supplies last. All right, let's go ahead and close the docket. We'll see you all tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us.